you. Hello, BCC. is it? I feel like it's a little too loud. Maybe it's just good. Good? Awesome. Thanks for worship. I really enjoyed worship. While I'm Waiting is one of my personal favorite songs.
Yes, Lord.
Again, because it talks about, you know, just seasons of waiting on the Lord, trusting, believing for God to move supernaturally. And, you know, the book of Luke is actually a very good gospel, like the other gospels are. And it's very unique in the sense that the first two chapters start off with songs, right? And songs have the powerful ability to help us express and assess emotions that we maybe are not necessarily able to do in regular, everyday conversation. So in the first two chapters of Luke, we have four songs. We have the Song of Zechariah.
Yep.
Does anyone know any other one? Who are the Bible scholars in the room? Song of?
Mary.
Yep, Mary. Simeon. Then there's a fourth one. There's a song by the angels, right? There's a song by the angels, right? Cool. Awesome. Bible study time. Sweet. So today we are going to be focused on the Song of Zechariah. So what I'm going to do now, and Judah, you can pull up the slides. Awesome. Let's go ahead and read together. Praise, and I'm reading from the NIV version. Okay. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 68 through 75. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. Yeah, can we just pause there? So in my version, horn represents a strength, right? He has raised up a strength of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation, and we can read together, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us. Next slide, thank you. To show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness, before him all our days. Very good. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. I believe there's one more verse. To shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Awesome, let's go ahead and pray, then we're gonna get started. Father, you are so worthy. God, thank you for the gift of this season and what it represents.
Yes, God.
Father, we fix our eyes on you. In the season of Advent and the season of Christmas, God, we fix our eyes on you. Father, thank you that we can trust you. Lord, I pray that you would have your way today. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. So on here, we are encountered by the Song of Zechariah, and the first, and Judah, you don't have to go back to this, but in verse 68, it says, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people, right? And so today we're going to be talking about Jesus redeems. So you guys, quick fact about me, I love music, okay? I love music, I love songs, and one of my favorite things to do is when I find a song that I really like, I love to go and see the story behind it. So there's a show called, or maybe there used to be a show called Behind the Music. This might be a Kenyan thing, right? Behind the Music. And songwriters, music producers actually get to share what they were feeling as they were writing the song,
come on,
right?
Can I get
And as we had mentioned before, songs have this the powerful ability to express emotions in ways that regular everyday language does not really encapture, okay? So in order for us to have context for this song, let's go ahead and get some background information about Zechariah, who's the author of this song. So we are going to turn back to Luke chapter 1, and we're going to start in verse 5. Okay, again, I'm going to be in the NIV version, but you can turn to whatever version you prefer. In the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Okay, let's pause here real quick. So 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jeremy gave a fantastic message, and he talked about the 400 years of silence, right? These are the years between the Old Testament and the coming of Jesus. And Pastor Jeremy talked a little bit about this not-so-good king, right? King Herod. And, you know, when Herod was king over Israel, they had spent year after year after year receiving prophecies about a coming Messiah, right? So they had received prophecies from Isaiah, Daniel, Malachi. Malachi, prophesying about this king who would come and reign in righteousness. He would bring salvation. He would bring justice. He would be a good king, right? But here in verse 5, we see that they are stuck with Herod, right? And Herod is a king that is, he is not just. He is greedy. He is, he manipulates the system. He is not so concerned about his people per se. Like, he has other agendas going on. Okay, so in the time of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, and he belonged to the priestly division of Abijah. Some of you might say that Abijah. It just depends on how you pronounce it. His wife, Elizabeth, was also a descendant of Aaron, right? So she came from a priestly line. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly, okay? So Zechariah and Elizabeth were a good couple, right? And they came from a good family, right? You know, like, they both came from good families. They loved the Lord. If they were at BCC, they would probably be one of our pastors. You know, like, they would be leading ministries. They were just a really, really good couple, and they loved the Lord. And I might have this on. In my version here, it says, and they walked blamelessly. Think about that. They walked blamelessly, and they observed all the Lord's commandments. So if you are maybe like a millennial or younger, you know, like, there's this thing called couple goals. Have y'all heard about couple goals? You know, like, for those of us that are younger in the room, Zechariah and Elizabeth would be couple goals.
All right.
You know, like, they, you know, like, perfect family. They love the Lord. Just good, good people. However, in verse 7, we see here, but they were childless. Okay? They were childless.
Yes, ma'am.
A few versions say they had no children. They were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? So here we are presented with a paradox that a lot of believers face a lot of times, right? Where, like, you've done all the right things.
Come on.
You've prayed all the right prayers. You have contended in the secret place, right? But you remain childless. And for some of us in the room, childlessness can look very different, right? Seasons of barrenness can look very different. But I know that in my own life, there are things that I am waiting for, right? There are things that I am waiting for, believing for, and it seems like the wait is just taking forever, right? So Zechariah and Elizabeth are in this place. They have done everything right, but they have remained childless. And during their time, being childless came with a lot of shame,
yes,
right?
Ma'am.
Because this was a culture where children were viewed as a blessing, and children are still viewed as a blessing, but I think especially then, childlessness and barrenness came with a lot of shame. and a lot of disappointment as well. Okay. So church, what do you do? You know, and I think Peter gave a very good foundation for this. So what do you do when you have done all the right things?
Yeah.
When you have reorganized your life, reoriented your life,
yeah.
You have trusted the Lord for a miracle, and nothing seems to break, nothing seems to happen. What do you do? Right? Waiting can be such a crushing crushing process. It's such a crushing process. One of my favorite quotes, and Judah, maybe you can pull this up. It might be the next slide on there. Waiting patiently is the foundation of the spiritual life. Right? This is a quote by Simone Bale. Waiting patiently is the foundation of the spiritual life, right? We are not diminished in waiting. We are enlarged. Okay, so if you have waited for anything in your life, if you are waiting for anything, you are in good company. You are in the company of Zechariah and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Right? Now we need to remember that at this same time, the children of Israel are waiting for their king.
Right.
They are waiting for their king. So the lives of Zechariah and Elizabeth, in a way, perfectly embody what is going on with the children of Israel at that time. Okay. So later on, we see that, and I don't have this in the slides, but I can just quickly give a synopsis of what's going on. So, you know, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they're way, way old in age. And one day, Zechariah is performing his priestly duties, and he is encountered by an angel. He's encountered by an angel, and this angel tells him, hey, you are going to bear a son. And the one thing that I really like in verse 13, yeah, do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard, right? Your prayer has been heard. Right, the moment you opened your mouth to cry and trust the Lord and pray, he heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and this son is not just going to be any ordinary person, okay, but he will be great in the sight of the Lord. Judah, you can keep going. Next slide. Okay, and he will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and the power of Elijah, right? So this son that Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for, he's not just going to be any ordinary person. He's going to be extra, right? He's going to be an extra special person. And the storyline that the Lord is writing here, okay? So Zechariah and Elizabeth have experienced a long advent. They have experienced a long waiting, right? But the Lord is faithful. He heard their prayer, and he's bringing this to pass. Now, you know, Zechariah, he might be like some of us. So I have gone through seasons where I have waited for things, and I get to a place where I'm like, you know what, Lord, maybe you just don't want me to have that thing. So I'm going to spare myself the emotions and move on, right? And maybe... Maybe Zechariah was here, right? Because when he received this message from the angel of the Lord, he said, no, I need a sign. I need something concrete, right? And so, again, you guys, just go back and read through the chapter. It's a very intriguing story. I really, really love it. But he isn't able to speak for the next 9 months because he did not believe the word of the Lord, right? Again, so you have 9 months of silence. Right? The 400 years of silence. You have 9 months of silence where the Lord is doing something. He is preparing the forerunner of the Messiah who is going to be born. And his name is John the Baptist. And while John is being circumcised, this is 8 days after his birth, which was customary to the Jewish tradition, he has been circumcised. And it is at this point that Zechariah's mouth is opened, and his tongue is loose, and he's able to begin to speak. Okay? And the first thing he says, Judah, you can go back to, or you can go forward, rather. Yeah, you can stop there. So now we're going to go back to the song that we initially read. So Zechariah says, he sings, he's happy,
uh-huh.
Right? Have any of you ever been to, you know, and sometimes, like, before COVID, like, this would happen at BCC, where people would be, like, running around during worship, people would be dancing, people are excited, right? And it can be so easy from the outside looking in to look at these people who are running around and think they're crazy.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? You know, they're crazy, they're being dramatic, right? But a lot of times when you have gone through struggle, when you have gone through seasons of waiting and pain and agony, that changes the way you worship, right? It changes the way you sing, because you are living on the other side of God's faithfulness. Amen? So this is Zechariah, right? He has gone through seasons of childlessness, years, probably decades of childlessness. Then he's had 9 months of silence. He could not speak. And now the Lord opens up his mouth. And in addition to that, he has this little baby boy.
Yes, Lord.
Right? He has his baby in his hands. And so he says, I'm going to read from the NIV version first, and I'm going to do the Strong's. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. A few versions say he has come to us. I really like the Strong's version. It says, Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, for he has visited us. Right?
Yes, Lord.
He has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people.
Wow.
He has accomplished. I just really, really love the wording of that. He has accomplished redemption for his people. He has done this thing that his people could not do in their own strength.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So we have been kind of, again, just trying to give some context, and Pastor Jeremy and Pastor Holly did a very good job of this. But in addition to living in physical oppression,
yes,
you know,
ma'am.
Like because of their king and their ruler, and a lot of things that were going on during that time, the children of Israel were also spiritually bound, right? If you spend some time reading the prophets in the Old Testament, time and time again, you have God who is a father, and he is crying out to his children. He's saying, hey, I desire righteousness from you, because you are a chosen people. I desire healthy marriages from you. I desire spiritual uprightness from you. I desire justice from you. I desire mercy from you. But time and time again, it just seemed like the children of Israel could not get it. Right? They could not get it. And if you read through the book of Malachi, there are a few things that the children of Israel are guilty of. I found a really good article. And it just kind of listed them out really, really well. And I'm going to read through these.
Yes, ma'am.
They were guilty of ingratitude. Right? So they were just like always constantly complaining. Right? I know I'm guilty of that. I'm guilty of that. They were guilty of injustice.
Yes, ma'am.
They were guilty of injustice, right? You know, so we've been saying as a church that we are the heart of God. And the heart of God is a heart of justice. It's a heart of compassion.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The children of Israel were guilty of having troublesome marriages, right? So you had husbands who did not uphold their wives and respect their wives. And the Lord did not like that. They delighted in disorder. Delight in disorder. Think about your life right now, right? Are there spaces and places where you delight in chaos, where you are looking out, well, not looking out, but like delighting in disorder?
Come on, sister.
They also refused to honor God in their giving. Okay? So, so they were guilty of ingratitude, but they were also guilty of holding everything a little too close. So right here, we see a lot of parallels between the children of Israel and our world today. Right? Do we see a lot of ingratitude around us? In our own lives, do we see injustice? Do we see troublesome marriages? Do we see delight in disorder, delight in chaos? Do we find ourselves, especially in 2020, being a little, I don't say hard-handed, you know, but like having a hard time being generous, right? Definitely a lot of parallels between the children of Israel and our day today. Okay, so perhaps, the redemption here that Zechariah is talking about is not just, you know, a physical redemption. In fact, it's not a physical redemption. It actually points to a spiritual redemption, right? A spiritual redemption that the Lord was sending his son to come and rescue the children of Israel from their shame, their bondage, their sin. And you know, sin can be very addictive. If you've ever been like stuck in really bad cycles, it can be a real bondage, right? A real bondage, right? So praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. So we do not need to accomplish redemption for ourselves.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't need to strive. We don't need to earn redemption. Jesus has been sent for our redemption. I want to... Judah, can you go to Ephesians chapter 2? Have it on there. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2 says, as for you... you were dead in your transgressions and sins,
yes, ma'am,
in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Right? So it starts off by saying, you were dead. You were dead in your transgressions and sins. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. I like that. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. You can keep going, Judah. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath.
Yes, ma'am.
But because of his great love for us,
yes,
God,
ma'am,
who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Judah, can you go back one slide there? Man, verse 3 gets me. Gratifying the cravings of our flesh, right? So as I was kind of preparing for this, I was reflecting on my own life. And, you know, I am a young adult. I live alone. So I have a lot of freedom, you know? My mother is all the way in Washington State. My dad's in Kenya. I can literally do whatever I want to do.
Kind.
Yes, kinda, right? You know, and I think in a lot of ways we all have a lot of freedoms, right? We have freedom and we have choices. You know, and unfortunately in 2020 there are a lot of opportunities to gratify the cravings of our flesh.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? To gratify the appetite of our flesh. You know, but we're being told here that... Judah, could you get the next verse? But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy,
yes, Lord,
he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Right? So we have been rescued. We have been rescued, and we have been empowered to say no to our flesh.
Yes, Lord.
Right?
That's
so
good.
So we have been redeemed from our sin. We have been redeemed from our shame. And we all have shame, right? We all have things that we have been redeemed from, right? We all have generational things that we have been redeemed from.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, not all of us, but I don't know. Some of us do. Most of us do. We all have mistakes and choices that we have made that we really regret. We have been redeemed from those things.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks to the grace of God. Judah, can you go back one slide? Is this Romans? Okay, one slide. Forward, sorry. Okay, sorry, could you just go back one? Sorry, I'm getting these mixed up. One slide again. Awesome, there we go. Okay, maybe I did not put it on there. Can you go to the last slide, Judah? That's the one I'm asking for. Perfect. Awesome. Thank you. Romans 6, verse 6 through 7. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Right? We should no longer be slaves to sin. Again, so thinking about going back to the book of Luke, that we have been redeemed. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has redeemed his people that they would no longer be slaves to sin. Because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Amen. So something that I want to do, and I'm going to go back to that real quick. But I do want to talk about a really good version. So I was looking at the NT Wright's version of Luke chapter 1, verse 71 through 79.
Yes,
and words are just so powerful. And this is what this version says. The Lord has redeemed us, and he has given us salvation from our enemies, rescue from hatred. Okay, rescue from hatred. He's given us deliverance from fear and foes. Fear and foes, right? Some of us have chronic fear.
Come on.
Chronic fear that disables us from doing anything.
Lay into it.
Chronic fear. Guiding our feet in the path of peace. Right, the start of this year, and you guys can go back to YouTube, we might have some sermons on this, but Pastor did a series on peace, and it was phenomenal. So the Lord is guiding our feet in the path of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says, the heart of our God is full of mercy. Amen? The heart of our God is full of mercy. Then it says again, he is guiding our feet in the path of peace. Right? So we see here that redemption and salvation, it seems like we're being rescued from hatred, right? Hatred. And I don't know, kind of just like reflect on your own life, in what areas of your life might there be hatred? In what areas of your life might there be bitterness? Towards people, towards yourself, sometimes towards God. He's given us deliverance from fear and foes. You know, so foes is a very interesting word. I usually just think of it as enemies. And one of my favorite songs, again, we're going back to the whole idea of songs. It's a song called I Will Prophesy Your Promise. It's one of my faves. You guys should check it out. And the first verse starts off by saying, you prepared a table in the middle of my war. Right, in the presence of my enemies, you prepared a table. Okay, very, very good. So the Lord has come to give us deliverance from fear and foes. And you know, in today's world, a lot of our foes are not necessarily physical things. A lot of our foes could be things that we're battling with, things that we're walking through, the lies that we tell ourselves, the lies that we've been told, the doubts that we struggle with every day. The Lord has come to give us deliverance from this. Then he is guiding our feet in the path of peace. So salvation and redemption looks like walking in the path of peace. The heart of our God is full of mercy.
Yes, Lord.
And so when we come into the fullness of redemption, we realize that the heart of our Father is the heart of mercy.
Yes, Lord.
Awesome, church. You know, and so I want to challenge us this morning as we are thinking about Advent and Christmas, you know, as we are thinking about the waiting and the promise, the arrival of the promise, as Peter said.
Yes, Lord.
In what ways can we trust God? Right? In what ways can we cling to the truth and the reality of his redemption, that we have been redeemed?
Yes, Lord.
That we are no longer slaves to sin, that our shame, the shame of our past, no longer holds us. Okay, so we're going to spend just a couple of minutes here kind of just reflecting on that. Deliverance from fear. Redemption from fear. Redemption from hatred. We are being led in the path of peace. Father, thank you that you are present in every season, that you are present in our Advent, our seasons of waiting. Even when we get to the end of our rope, God, that you are there. And God, thank you for this beautiful reminder that you have visited us, God, and that you have accomplished redemption for us. Father, I pray that where there is shame, where there is pain, where there is weariness, Lord, that you would help us unpack Lord, so that we can walk in the fullness of redemption. And Lord, for those of us that are waiting, that are clinging to your promise, God, for that we believe, but help us believe.
Yes, God.
Good. In Jesus' name, amen. So Peter is going to close us. us out in a song. And you know, BCC, so here, sorry, everyone won. At BCC, we believe in the power of prayer, right? So much so that we have a whole ministry impact. Ministry, prayer, and altar call team. And all they do, well, not all they do, but a lot of what they do is praying for you. Right, we have been blessed with amazing prayer warriors here at BCC. So if you need prayer, you don't have to leave this room today without receiving prayer. Right? As we were reminded today, the angel reminded Zechariah that when you prayed, the Lord heard you. When you prayed, the Lord heard you, okay? So if you have any prayer requests, if you need to spend time at the altar, if you just need to go to the back of the church, this is your house. You can do that, okay? Awesome. So Peter is going to close us out, and thank you, BCC.